Hello and welcome to The Course. I'm your host today, Lee, and I'm speaking with Professor Amy Wilkinson from the Department of Mathematics. She studies smooth dynamical systems, ergodic theory, and mathematical chaos. Professor Wilkinson is here to talk to us about her career path and how she became a University of Chicago professor. Welcome to The Course, Professor Amy Wilkinson. It is a pleasure to have you with us today.
It is a pleasure to be here. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. So, Amy, let's get started with you telling me a little bit about your career path. Let's begin in your undergraduate years, and then you can take me all the way to your current position at the university.
All right. So I was an undergraduate math major at Harvard in the late 1980s. And I had a lot of interests besides math. So I probably didn't put as much time into my courses, my math courses, as some of the other math majors. I think I learned a lot, but I kind of had somewhat of a spotty career. And I didn't really get interested in math until my senior year, at which point it was already kind of too late to apply to graduate schools. So I, instead of going to grad school, I went home and I sent out some letters and resumes to a bunch of actuarial firms in the Chicago area. And I got a job and I went to work as an actuarial assistant in Chicago. So this was in 1989. And after I'd been there for a few months, I realized that I actually really would like to apply for graduate school. I was really missing abstract math. So I applied that fall. And I was accepted at a few schools, and I decided to go to Berkeley. And that's where I got my PhD in 1995. And my first job out of Berkeley was at Harvard again. I was one of their, it's called a named postdoc. So I was a Benjamin Peirce instructor. And personal things intervened. My boyfriend at the time, who had graduated a year before me, was at the University of Chicago as a postdoc. And we wanted to be in the same town. So a job opened up at Northwestern, and I left Harvard for Northwestern, arriving there in 1996. And I spent 15 years at Northwestern. I was promoted through the ranks at Northwestern. And then in 2011, the University of Chicago made me a job offer. So I came to Chicago at first just to see what it was like for a quarter. And then I came here permanently. So I've been at the University of Chicago since 2011, basically the fall of 2011. So that's been my career. That's the outline of my career, at least. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll dive a little bit into it in more detail. But first, Amy, can you tell me a little bit about your research and can you explain it to me? Like, I'm a sophomore in high school who doesn't know that much about math.
Sure. So I work in an area of math called dynamical systems. I like to say it's the study of motion. So it's an area of pure mathematics, meaning that I don't try to solve real world problems. What I do is I study mathematical objects that have been built over the years by mathematicians. And I study them from the point of view of how they can move over time, how they evolve over time. So the earliest dynamical systems that people studied, and really like the origins of the subject, came from physics, and in particular, the study of planetary motion. So that's an example where you have what's called a space. It's not really space like outer space, but there's some kind of space that describes all the possible configurations of the planets in a solar system. And then that space evolves over time according to the laws of physics. And so if you start somewhere in the space with some configuration of planets, you can watch the planets move from that starting configuration. And you want to study what happens in the long term. Like, is it stable? Does Mercury go retrograde? That's the kind of question. But now imagine you're doing the same thing, but within abstract mathematical space. So that's my subject of study.
So, Amy, when you were younger, like when you were in middle school, maybe early high school, did you always know you wanted to be a mathematician, or did you have other ideas for what you wanted to be when you grew up?
So I looked to the adults that were close to me as inspiration for what to do, like what I might do with my life. And two of the adults that were close to me and I kind of shared interests were my father, who was a psychologist, but he was a very mathematical psychologist. And he was a professor at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And then my grandfather, my father's father, who was an artist and had run he was an art director at magazines and retired and had an art gallery with my grandmother. And so I literally thought, well, I liked math a lot from the youngest possible age I can imagine. I did sort of think maybe I'd either be an artist or a mathematician or something like this. But honestly, I don't think I thought very much when I was a kid about what I was going to be when I grew up. I think I just kind of enjoyed learning new material, like solving problems and learning new things as a kid. I was always interested in math when I was young.
And what were you like as a student when you were in high school?
So I was a strong student in terms of grades. Like I think I graduated second or third in the class, and it was like a class of 800 kids or something. And I was on the math team and you know, I got all the math prizes. So in that sense, I was a strong student. I was also a bit of a rebel, I would say. So I had like kind of the second life that involved quite a bit of like partying and hanging out with friends and skipping classes and maybe not being the model teenager, but this was the 80s. But I was very, very into math when I was in high school. That's true. And some other things as well.
So when you set off on this career path, you know, becoming an academic, who were your biggest supporters? Who did you lean on?
So I had plenty of support from teachers in grade school and high school, and that was pretty wonderful. In grad school, I had really very little. In college, I had really very little support. Harvard was not really at the time well equipped to support its undergrads who were interested in math. In fact, I was actively discouraged by the director of undergraduate studies there at the time. But there was a grad student who was extremely helpful, who helped me write my senior thesis and even find a topic for it. And when I went to grad school, there were some key supporters. There was my advisor, and there was a faculty member, a visiting faculty member. She was visiting from CUNY, where she was a professor, and she took me under her wing and introduced me to all sorts of people. She was kind of instrumental, as it turns out. And I had, like, my advisor had a collaborator that I worked with. I ended up collaborating with after graduate school. And so he was had a significant impact on what I worked on and what my interests were. And he did an amazing job of exposing me to interesting math and to introducing me, kind of promoting me in the world of math. So I had a lot of support.
What about resistance or challenges? Did you encounter any along the way?
I just realized when you asked who were my supporters, I forgot, like, actually probably the most important supporters were my peers. So in college, I did problem sets with other undergraduates. It was absolutely key. I mean, I made friends who are still friends of mine, who are still mathematicians back then. In graduate school, my office mate, he alone probably taught me more math than I learned from any classes when I was a student at Berkeley. But I mean, anyway, going back to the question of challenges, yeah, I mean, the sort of general lack of, I would say almost apathetic atmosphere at Harvard toward the undergraduates was a challenge for me. It made me wonder whether I should even do this mathematics thing, or I should pursue it. And being a woman back in the 80s, I mean, it's a little better now, but back in the 80s, it was pretty bad. There were very few women undergraduate math majors, and very few of them went to grad school in math. And I felt like probably I had no role models, and I thought maybe like I didn't belong in math. And the director of undergraduate studies, when I went to talk to him my senior year, I wanted to tell him, like, I was thinking maybe I would go to grad school after all. I'd written this thesis, which had been really interesting, and things were starting to gel for me mathematically. And he gave me like probably one of the most discouraging speeches. In response, he told me that there's a great pyramid of mathematicians. Most mathematicians are at the bottom. A few are at the top, but the vast majority, of course, as pyramids are occupying the bottom part. And as long as I was okay with occupying the bottom part, be my guest and go to grad school. You know, I don't know if he was actively trying to discourage me. I think it was something more complicated than that. But he had a tendency to say very discouraging things to young women. The stories I know about are all women who went on to get PhDs in mathematics. And a few of them are extremely successful mathematicians. So, yeah, I mean, I guess we all probably reacted to that in the same way, which is sort of like, fuck you, gonna go do it anyway, you know, not gonna listen to you.
So I'm also interested in why you wanted to become a professor versus, you know, something else that involves math.
You know, I wasn't really aware of many other things that involve math. And what I really decided when I was an actuarial assistant, which is one of these jobs that supposedly involves a fair amount of math, I realized that what I really missed was pure math. I mean, I enjoyed being an actuary, probably more for the interpersonal part of it, like advising people, consulting, but I really missed pure math. And if you do applied math, I think there are a lot of other jobs that are challenging and fun and very interesting, and they give you hard problems to solve. But there is no other job that does pure mathematics. So if I wanted to do pure mathematics, I kind of have to be an academic. I mean, there's a few government jobs that involve pure mathematics to a certain extent. You know, once I decided that I wanted to do mathematics, as long as I wanted to do it, I kind of had to stay in academia, which isn't to say that I was ever sure of myself. Like, I took everything, starting in grad school, I just took everything one day at a time. And as long as I was enjoying math, I kept doing it. But I did not plan. When I started graduate school, I couldn't imagine myself being a postdoc. I couldn't imagine myself ever teaching, you know, algebra to college students. Once I got a PhD and I was a postdoc, I couldn't imagine myself being a tenured professor, but I just kept stuck with it. And eventually here I am.
And how did you come to discover your particular research expertise?
That's very interesting. It was when I was an undergraduate, the summer after my sophomore year of college, there was a research program called an REU, a Research Experience for Undergraduates program in Duluth, Minnesota. And I managed to get into it thanks to a friend of mine, or later became a friend of mine, somehow got me into this program. It was a very small program. And we had lectures from graduate students who had formerly done the program. And one of them was a graduate student from the University of Chicago. And he gave a lecture about something called ergodic theory and the ergodic theorem. And he talked about this mathematical theorem as a problem of how do you measure the temperature of a circular piece of wire without knowing the temperature at all the points at once. And he gave a theorem that if you started at some point in the wire and you move in a very specific way around the wire, basically moving at a fixed angle at each step in time and measure the temperature going around the circle and take the average, that that would converge to the average temperature. And I thought this was really amazing because all of the math that I had seen up till then was very static, or so it seemed to me, like you were studying these objects. And suddenly these objects, there was motion. You know, there's a point moving around a circle, and there's a mathematical theorem about that. So that really captured my imagination. And I went back to Harvard and told one of the faculty members that I was kind of interested in this. And he found a graduate student who was teaching an undergraduate course in the subject. And so I learned more from him. And then I learned about a course at Boston University, and I started learning about this subject. So by the time I was finishing, I actually was quite interested in dynamics and ergodic theory. And I chose Berkeley because there was someone there who did ergodic theory. I ended up not working with that person, but it was a good place to be if you were interested in dynamical systems. And it was almost like for personal reasons, I ended up at Berkeley. And for personal reasons, I ended up working with who I worked with, but I really loved the subject.
What you think is the most fun aspect of the job that you do?
Yeah, I think for me, the most fun, probably I love solving problems. That's fun, but also very challenging because you're often just beating your head against a wall for weeks, months at a time, not getting anywhere. So the fun part of that is when you actually solve a problem and then you feel you just get this incredible rush. But like on a day-to-day basis, I love communicating math. I love giving talks about my research. And I absolutely love teaching and working with undergraduates and graduate students. So for me, the most fun is watching a student go from not knowing something to knowing something very well to knowing something better than I know it. I love the process of learning. I love learning from other people and students and also colleagues. So for me, just the constant process of learning and interacting with other interested and curious people is the height of pleasure. I mean, that's why I do this job.
And on the flip side of that, what is the least fun part of your job?
Grading exams. Definitely grading exams. I think that's the only part of my job I don't like. I mean, there's administrative stuff that I have to do, a fair amount of it too. It's work. And, you know, writing, you have to write a lot of letters of recommendation for students and for people who are being promoted and so on. That's work. But nothing is worse than having a pile of 50 exams sitting in front of you and knowing that you absolutely have to go through that pile of 50 exams and assign grades in the next 2 days.
A somewhat universal answer among the faculty members I've spoken to. No one likes grading. So we were talking about this before we started recording, Amy, but you mentioned that you have had some experiences abroad. Can you tell me about those?
So I've had a lot of experiences abroad in the sense that mathematicians are a highly collaborative group. And so we spend a lot of time together working on math problems. And that means that I travel sometimes, I've traveled for up to a month. A lot of mathematicians do much longer traveling, but family reasons, I couldn't really travel more. But I've traveled all over the world. And currently I have collaborators I have one in Brazil and Switzerland. He splits his time. One in France, one in Sweden, and one in China. These are the people I'm like working with right now, different projects. So I traveled to all these countries. So yeah, I've traveled extensively for collaboration and for conferences. One place I'd like to go, I had opportunities, but I couldn't do it, is Africa. You know, there's lots of math going on in Africa, and I haven't had a chance to travel there. But I've traveled almost everywhere, at least every other inhabited continent, I think, I've traveled to.
So tell me about where you aspire to be. Like, what are your professional ambitions moving forward?
So my professional ambitions moving forward are just to keep learning new things and proving new things, hopefully. But at the very least, I want to keep just making new discoveries and learning new math. It's literally, it's my dream job. So I don't have any like professional ambitions beyond just doing what I'm doing.
And then what advice would you give to someone who is interested in also becoming a professor and a mathematician?
So I literally just gave advice right before I talked to you to a young undergraduate who went from being a pre-med major in her first year to taking two of the hardest undergraduate math courses that we offer. And she's in my class and she's wondering, you know, what to take, how to become a math major, what she should do. And I mean, my advice is pretty standardized for young people who ask. And that is to learn as much math as you can and have as much fun as you can while you're doing it. And to dive into the math and be sure to like stop and smell the roses, like mathematical and otherwise. Because I think I've seen young people burn out really quickly when they're too focused on their future career. And I think it's a big mistake. And I think for me, like taking that year off before going to grad school was vital. It really re-energized me. It made me realize why I was doing math. I was doing it for myself and not to please anybody else or not because it was what was expected of me. So my advice is that, yes.
And then finally, Amy, what would you say is the most gratifying or fulfilling part of the work that you do?
Yeah, the most gratifying, fulfilling part is mentoring younger people. Absolutely. It's a little bit like raising children. I mean, it's a lot of work. There's tough times, but once you graduate someone, there's no better feeling.
Thank you, Professor Amy Wilkinson, for your time today. And course takers, if you enjoyed listening to today's interview, please check out the other ones. Leave us a comment, subscribe, follow, and share this episode with your friends and family. You can find out more about the University of Chicago through uchicago.edu or the university's campus in Hong Kong through uchicago.hk. Stay tuned for more, and thanks for listening.